Joshua, you know, what I really wanted to focus in on today, and what I might go to next week, was throughout all of Joshua's early life, he was in school. For the candidate, for the graduates, he was in school. He was learning, and we'll get back to that. But here, in Exodus 24, there's something that happens that Joshua is with in a special way. And we read here in verse 9, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up." They were called by God to go up on the mountain of God. And we're going to find out, it doesn't name him here, but we're going to find out that Joshua is also here with them. You know, and he's a young man at this time. It says, then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. They went up on the mountain, and they saw the God of Israel. They saw him. And then it says, there was under his feet. Now, I believe that who they saw was Jesus. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah says, "And I saw the Lord, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Would you go to John chapter 12? John chapter 12 says that Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. It was Jesus he was seeing. And I believe that who they're seeing right here on the mountain in Exodus is Jesus. And they saw the God of Israel. "And there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heavens for clearness." And we saw, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 2, and we saw that this is almost the exact description of the glory of God that was appearing to Ezekiel in his prophecy. There was a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heavens for clearness. You know, the Bible talks about heaven is going to have streets of gold, transparent glass. This is how pure it's going to be. The gold that you have here is just going to be used as pavement up in heaven. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. We looked at how God wants fellowship with his people. They saw God, and what did they do? They ate and they drank. They had communion. They had fellowship with one another. Now listen to what it says, verse 12. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction.' So Moses rose with" what? "With his assistant Joshua." So Joshua was there through all of this. He's learning. He's growing in the Lord. He was there with his assistant Joshua. "And Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, 'Wait here for us, me and Joshua. We're going up there.' So Joshua went up with Moses. 'Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them.'" So here's Joshua. He's put in this, essentially in this exalted position alongside of Moses. He's with Moses. Not only is he there with the 70 elders of Israel and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, but he's there with Moses as his assistant. He's learning. One of the things we just mentioned last week, and maybe I'll talk about this again further, is I love that song by John Michael Talbot. He says, "Let those who have followed be the ones who have led." You know, in order for us to become leaders, we've got to go through some training. Silas says amen. We have to be submitted to someone at some point. And here is Joshua. He's the assistant of Moses. He's in submission to Moses. And who's Moses in submission to? Into God. And he's speaking to Moses, and he's learning. He's learning all about how God is speaking to Moses. And there's so much more than that. But there's a quote that I wanted to read from Francis Schaeffer that talks about this, and then I'm just going to close real quickly here. But there's two things that happened here on this mountain. They saw the reality of God. Listen, you need to know today that God exists, that he's real. They saw God. He's real. He's real. And they also saw the glory of God. He's glorious. He's holy. He's altogether different than us. He's altogether different than we are. We are not like God. We are finite. He's infinite. We are mortal. He's immortal. We are temporary. He's eternal. We, you know, all of these things. You know, we have knowledge, but his knowledge is he's omniscient. We can only be one place at one time. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. I mean, God is so much different than we are. And his glory was just, they beheld it. And it was an awesome thing to them. But just listen to this one thought, this quote from Dr. Francis Schaeffer. He says, "One thing is clearly seen in God's preparation of Joshua. Joshua was reminded of the interplay between the seen and the unseen worlds." You see, it says here in verse 9, Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, the 70 elders of Israel, verse 10, went up and they saw the God of Israel. Now, let me tell you something about that. For all of their lives, they had been walking around. They had been doing, you know, they went through the Red Sea. They did all that. They lived their lives every day. And sometimes it's easy for us to live our lives as if God is not there. But what God was telling Joshua in this instance is, I'm here. And I've always been here. Let me read this quote again. One thing is clearly seen in God's preparation of Joshua. Joshua was reminded of the interplay between the seen and the unseen worlds. There's no vast chasm between them. You know, you may not know it right now, but this room is filled with angels. You may not realize it right now, but God is in this place. Amen. He's here, right now. Ooh, it makes you want to take off your shoes, doesn't it? That's what he was going to say to Joshua. That's what he said to Moses. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. There is no vast chasm between them. The unseen world is right here. The unseen world is always immediately present, not far off. Above everything and overshadowing everything is the reality of God in His glory. It undoubtedly was a great help to Joshua many times in the future for him to understand that God was close at hand, that He is the God who exists and who is here. He's here right now. He's here for you right now. He's not far off. He's not the God who is far off. He's a God who is here, present. Is there any other biblical evidence of this? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen." Listen, the unseen world. We look not to the things that are seen. We can't help it, can we? We're constantly looking to the things that are seen. But in the Spirit, in Christ, we have a greater understanding. We have a much greater understanding that we're not alone, that God, the unseen, is right where we right here, right now. For the things that are seen are transient. The word, most of your translations will say temporary. That's what transient means. Passing away with time, temporary, or staying only a short time. The things that are seen are temporary. They're transient. They're passing away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Listen to what Matthew 18:10 says. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." They're angels. There are angels that are present in this room right now that have been assigned to you. Amen. Does that make you feel better? Hey, you're not alone. God is watching over you. That time when you thought, wow, how did I swerve and miss that? I don't know. The angel was there helping, or whatever. Some of you can look back and see there's instances in your life you can go back and you say, I didn't see how that happened, but something unseen was helping me. The seen and the unseen world. The unseen world is not as far away as you think it is. Let me look at 2 Kings real quick. I just want to read this little portion of scripture, 2 Kings 8. I'm going to ask the worship team to come because we're just about there. But you're getting the point. And I could keep going on with scriptures, but look at this. It says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, This is verse 8. He took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. So God was revealing to Elisha where the Syrians were going to be. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. So in other words, because of God revealing to Elisha where the Syrian army was, the armies of Israel avoided that place and they were saved. Because someone had insight into the unseen world. His name was Elisha, but I'm just going to close with a verse here in a minute. Let's go on here and look at what happened in this instance. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. How can he do that? Because he recognized that there was an unseen world and he was part of it. And so can you be. And he said to him, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Well, you would think Elisha had known where he was previously. Why didn't he flee from Dothan? Well, we were going to see why not. Look at this. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. Oh my gosh. We're surrounded. What shall we do? The servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Just because he couldn't see him doesn't mean they weren't there. Did you just get goosebumps the way I just got goosebumps? You know, we have something on Elisha. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, back in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals at certain times. But today, he lives inside you. If you bear that name, Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in you. Do you mind if I tell just one little brief little story? Because it talked about how the armies of Syria had surrounded the city. Back when I was in Youth of the Mission, I was a young Christian, baby Christian. It was 1981, and we were on an outreach, and we were in the city of Washington, D.C. How many of you have been to Washington, D.C.? Pretty much everybody. Most of us go to Capitol Hill, the area around the Capitol. But we don't really go into the outskirts. It used to be one of the biggest slum areas in America, believe it or not. Very, very, very poor section of the United States of America, the city of Washington, D.C. itself. And we were working with the Third Street Church of God, and it was awesome. And this church in the midst of Washington, D.C. had been working in the projects for years, and they had a reputation. That they weren't just talking. They didn't just say God loves you and then say goodbye. they were working with them and they were making a difference in Washington, D.C. And we were blessed to be working with the Third Street Church of God. So my buddy and I, Jeff, we decided, you know, one day we had some free time. Let's go for a walk. And we had forgotten this wise word of wisdom that had been told us by our leaders. Don't walk alone far away from this area. We were just walking. And we were talking, and we were deep in conversation about the Lord, and we didn't realize where we had walked to. And we just took this turn down this one street, and we're just walking, talking, and I'm looking up, and I'm noticing it's a area where a bunch of houses are, and it's filled with people in the middle of the day. No one was working. And every single eye was on us. Now, here we are, two real white guys. With both of us were wearing white corduroys and light shirts. Corduroys. That's what we were wearing. Anybody used to have those? Anybody still got them? I like those pants. They made me look bright. And we're walking and talking, and every single eye is looking at us. And then we're approached. You guys got any money? I don't have any money. Do you have any money, Jeff? No, I don't have any money. We didn't bring any money with us. And Jeff's wearing a watch. And he says to Jeff, he says, "Hey, let me see your watch." Jeff goes, "See?" In the meantime, we are now surrounded. And I'm like going, "Show him the watch, Jeff. Show him the watch. Let him see the watch." He says, "No." I said, "Let me see your watch." Jeff again goes, "See?" I'm thinking, "Jeff, give him the watch. Give him the watch." And then I came up with this great idea. I'm going to pray. And so I began to pray in my prayer language, probably 100 miles an hour, and in English as well. In the meantime, the guy is pressuring Jeff, give me your watch. I want to look at your watch. And so the Lord just, as I'm praying, the Lord just dropped, he says, ask him this question. So that we're surrounded by all these guys, and then I say, "Hey, are you guys hungry?" "Yeah, that's why we want some money. That's what, you know." I don't remember the answers that I was given, but it was, "Well, listen," I said, "we're working with the Third Street Church of God, and we have a feeding program. And today at noon, we'll have a lunch, and we can feed all of you." So finally, as they're pressing in around us, this guy says, "Hey, you guys come over here with me. I'll be right back." So he grabs me and Jeff. He brings us out of the circle. We're no longer surrounded. And he walks us over, you know, about a block away. And he says, "Listen, I'm going to do you guys a favor. I'm going to walk you to the end of the street. And you get right back to the Third Street Church of God right away. But you have to give me the watch." I said, "Jeff, give him the watch." So Jeff took off the watch and gave it to him. He walked us to the end of the street and he let us go. God is always protecting us. But that's not the end of the story. We thought we would never see that watch again. But that young man showed up at noon for lunch and gave Jeff his watch back. And we were able to, you know what I realized? They all knew the story. They knew the gospel. And they had that soft place in their heart. And it was just a joy to really be able to share with him and to see his heart, that he really did want to serve the Lord. But when God God is on your side, you may be surrounded. It may look like there's no way out, like it did here with Elisha. But God just said, Lord, open up. And the servant, this is what he says. I moved my place from there because I went. He says, what are we going to do? He says, Lord, open his eyes. Good word for Jordan, isn't it, Kevin? You've experienced this. Boy, you know, can I just say, Kevin shared with us last Wednesday about his trip to Jordan. It was powerful. Not a very good turnout, but it was powerful. You really missed it. It was just the stories that he had to share with us about Jordan was powerful. God is doing, you know, you wouldn't think that a maintenance guy, and I'm not making light of that, but in other words, that's, you know, he's going as a maintenance guy, you know. You think, well, what kind of an impact is he going to have? You know, God was bringing people to him. And he's having an impact in their lives. And they want his phone number. They want him to call. You know, these Muslim men, they say, call me when you get, call me. Here's this guy who's got contacts now there in the Muslim world just because he was willing to go. Powerful stories. Miraculous stories. And that's not even beginning to speak about the man that will remain nameless on this video who gave his heart to Christ already. A Muslim man who was going to lose everything, but his wife decided to come and move back in with him. And miracles. The seen and the unseen world. They're not far apart from one another. And today, I want you to know that God is here for you. All of you that came up and wanted to be anointed with oil, for whatever reason it is, I want you to know that God is fighting for you. That he's not far off. He's right there. And you just cling to him. Hold on. Don't let go. Because he's going to come through for you. I promise you. I guarantee you. If you continue to follow him, and if you don't sway to the right or to the left, as he said to Joshua in chapter 1 of his book, if you do that, then you will have success. That's what he said. You will have great success. God will fight for you. God will do it. He's God. And he's on the throne. Let's stand. We're going to close with this song. We're going to worship the Lord, and then I'm going to pray the